This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
Welcome to...
This is Tech Web. Tow.
Computers.
Technology.
Gadgets.
And other geeky stuff.
It's on iTunes. It's awesome.
And it's from the future.
Follow us at twitter.com/techwebcast.
And
on Facebook. And check techwebcast.info for info. Tech Webcast.
Turn on. Tune in. Drop on.
Welcome to episode 267 of Tech Webcast Podcast, recorded on the 30th of November 2013. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Keds on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Please rate us on iTunes and like us on Facebook. Facebook.com/TechWebcast. Your hosts today are Bo, Brad, Jody, Steve, Jen, and Jacob. Our guests today are Jackson, if I can pronounce it right, with ozpodcast.com.au, as well as Hope with coastbyopera.com. Sorry, I got a bit excited.
That is okay, mate. That is good.
That's all right, then.
Good to have you on, Bo.
It is. How long has it been? I've been, like, it's been ages.
It has been ages. How long? About 2 years, mate.
I think so. Yes, it has. And I'm excited to be back.
That's good, mate. Good on you. I'm good to have you on. Jody.
Brad.
Are you excited?
Hi. Glad to be here again. And puppy's getting bigger.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Love the puppy. Steve, what's up?
Oh, just been busy. Thanksgiving yesterday. Oh, my gosh. Had to get up at 4 o'clock this morning, drive her back to the airport. So wow. Been up since then, but I'm still going.
What sort of food you been eating yesterday?
Ham, turkey, just anything you could think of. We had leftovers, so that's I'm good. Like, that's... I took two plates, put it in the refrigerator, and I told everybody else, all right, take it home. We had so much food.
Good stuff. Also, we've got Jennifer back on. Welcome back, Jennifer.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
Good stuff.
How are you doing?
I'm going fantastic. And you?
Awesome. I have been spending money on Black Friday.
Wow.
And trying not to spend as much as I have, and it's really a challenge. There's so many awesome deals today. It's really exciting. It is. You know, especially for a geek, you could just sit there and look at the different deals online. And then Cyber Monday is right around the corner. So. Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Add that.
You don't have Cyber Monday.
I don't think we do.
No, we don't. We don't have a day where we can get bargains. What's the day we had a site that creates a frenzy online where they've got a heap of people or businesses that you can get sort of discounts, but there's nothing really worth going with.
Mm. Mm. They need to start that.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Wednesday.
Yeah, maybe that would be good. We've got Jackson on. Welcome, Jackson.
Hey there.
And you're from the Oz podcast website.
Directory. Australian podcast directory. Yeah.
Good stuff, mate. You've been around for 3 months.
Yeah, it's still brand new, but slowly growing.
Good stuff, mate. Good stuff. And also we have Hope on. Welcome, Hope, from Opera.
Hi, thank you. I'm from Oslo, and I'm heading the Coast by Opera project, the new browser for iPad made by Opera.
Good stuff.
And I'm really happy to be here, even though it's the middle of the night where I call from.
Wow, what is the time right now where you are?
It's 3 a.m. in the morning.
Wow.
But I'm coming from a company-wide seminar all about technology and partying and meeting up together. And we haven't been sleeping a lot too this week, so it's all fine.
All right. We've got some great news stories today. Let's talk about them, Jody.
Oh, great. Well, you know, Brad, we know how much you love Netflix.
Yes.
And the fact that Netflix has been difficult for you because you're in Australia. Well, guess what? Netflix might finally launch in Australia. And I know, right? A report in The Australian this morning said that Netflix has been swayed by the number of people jumping the geo block to subscribe to the service from Australia. And it's all Brad, let me tell you what.
It is.
And in case you've been living under a rock, Netflix offers an all-you-can-eat TV and movie streaming service for U.S. $7.99 per month. And a lot of the web traffic in the U.S. Is coming through Netflix. It's arguably the most popular streaming service on the planet, and despite its only being available in select North American and European markets, evidently, you know, now they're looking at Australia, and you'll be able to watch Orange is the New Black, House of Cards, and all the other cool things that are out there on Netflix. So I know that's exciting for you, Brad.
It is. I hope it's true. And Bo, what do you reckon? What's your view on this story?
Honestly, also excited because, well, like I messaged you the other day, like I'm receiving Netflix.
Yeah.
Well, I was, but for some reason I can't actually pay to get a gift card anymore. So
wow.
I'm hoping this is going to be the case because I can't seem to get Netflix anymore.
Well, that's weird. Was it something to do with your card maybe?
No, because I used to be able to just use my PayPal account as a payment method and no longer it just says you are not in America, so you can't use
yeah,
it.
Yeah, maybe they caught on to that, maybe.
I think they might have.
Yeah, I think they might have, yeah, yeah. All right, so you're looking forward to it then, Bo, coming to Australia?
Hell yes.
Yeah, same, mate.
No difficulties in trying to get it. That's
exactly.
The best thing.
Exactly, yep, I agree. What about you, Jackson? What's your view on Netflix coming to Australia?
Well, I think isn't Australia one of, if not the biggest pirater of stuff like Game of Thrones and Breaking Bad. So it's pretty much like the market's screaming out for it. So and I think they're just going to fill a hole.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be good. I don't know what's going to happen to QuickFlix, Bo. What do you reckon about QuickFlix?
If I can pronounce it, but QuickFlix will actually probably struggle. I think Foxtel also, I mean, they're going to not like the fact that well, it also depends on what Netflix is going to give in the way of content.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Mm.
And there could be a total limitation to what they're going to actually give Australian viewers, which hopefully they're not going to do that because that's just going to bring them down to what QuickFlix is pretty much. I mean, you can't get a heap of great content on QuickFlix. It's an okay service, but honestly, it's very limited.
It is.
And if Netflix comes to Australia and they do the same thing, then, well, it's pointless.
Exactly. What about you, Steve? What's your view on this?
Well, I think it's great for, you know, people in Australia. They be able to get the content from Netflix. Obviously, one of the biggest streaming services. Now, I used to have Netflix, and it's a slight complaint. It's not real big, but it seems to take them too long to get, you know, recent shows on there. Sometimes they're like several seasons behind. Like me, if I miss a show, I'd like to be able to go, you know, maybe the next day and go watch it or something like that, but obviously you can't. But besides that, I've actually discovered some new shows. Well, they're old now, that only perhaps lasted a couple of seasons, but it was well worth it.
Okay. All right, good stuff. What about you, Hope? What's your view on this story?
I think it's great. I'm a big fan of Netflix. I've been using it since it landed in Norway, and it's I think it's one of those great revolutions in technology that we've seen that really changed the way that people watch television, that watch online content, and it's one of those things that really inspired us to do Coast to look at changing people's view on technology and the way we interact with it.
Definitely. What about you, Jennifer?
Well, I'm a huge Netflix fan, and I'm very happy to see that you guys might be getting it in Australia. I am actually quite curious how you access it now. Can you access it when it's on your Xbox or Apple TV, or do you have to go through your browser?
We use a VPN. I use a VPN. I'm sure Bo does the same thing. I use a VPN. I just put a DNS address into my phone or Apple TV, and then where I go.
Yeah, okay. I'm pretty much the same. I've got a DNS server that's actually better than, like, with VPN. That's the reason I tried to avoid VPN, because with your traditional VPN, you're going to be tunneling your data through their network, so it's going to slow down your internet. But the current thing I've got in place is just using DNS, like you use their server, which you have an account and they tunnel the actual traffic to where it should be. And yeah, it works as well.
Cool.
Well, good. At least they're seeing that people are doing that and they need to make a change and come your way. And hopefully, like Bo said, that they will not limit the content. So let's cross our fingers.
Yeah, I hope not. I hope they don't do that. Well, what about you, JD? What's your view on this story?
You know, Netflix is an interesting case study. They were doing gangbusters and then they implemented a dual kind of pronged approach where they were separating the movie rental from the streaming videos, and they increased the price and they almost fell flat on their face. Everybody started canceling their accounts. I think from that low point, they have done a fantastic job of turning the organization around. Some of the original content that they've created has been really superlative, and I'm excited that it's coming to Australia. I think you guys should have had it all along. So we'll see how that transpires. Interestingly enough, the next story that we have has to do with Amazon and Amazon bringing instant video to Japan. You know, it's funny. Amazon offers this thing called Amazon Prime, and in the U.S. it's $79. And part of Amazon Prime has to do with getting your delivery. You get it within 2 days, and they don't charge you for delivery fee. But they also offer you this streaming video. And the conjecture is whether the Japanese audience will be able to get this instant video service as well, or whether it's going to be part of like a Prime-type service, or whether they're going to charge for it. And reading through the comments, evidently, Japan is notorious for charging for content. So it'll be interesting to see what transpires. I don't know if any of you guys have any experience with this, but I'm curious to see what you think.
What about you, Jennifer? Have you used
it? I use Amazon Prime all the time. Actually Amazon Instant Video. Let me rephrase that. And also watch the Prime videos. And, you know, a lot of the content that I will watch on Amazon Instant Video, I do pay for. The free versions, the free content, you know, every once in a while I'll watch it. Like earlier I was watching a new series called Betas, which is all about a new startup in San Francisco. And it was really quite a cute comedy. And it's an Amazon created show. It's only featured on Amazon. So they're coming out with their own content, much like Netflix has come out with House of Cards and, you know, Orange is the New Black. Then Amazon is doing the same thing. They have a new show called Alphas, the Betas, which is Alpha House, rather, and the Betas. And really good shows. So I'm, you know, liking where they're going. But like I said, I do pay for a lot of the content that I actually get from there, even though I am a Prime member. But the nice thing is I can watch things that I want instantly and only pay a couple of dollars for it. And I like that immediate access to it. So, you know, I'm excited that they're going to Japan. I think they should go everywhere and more countries should have access to their content.
Bring it to Australia, I say.
I say so. They should. Definitely.
What about you, Hype? What's your view on this story?
Well, I have Amazon Prime is not available in Norway yet, so I've never used it. But it sounds pretty interesting, and I think also in Norway people are very content aware and they're willing to pay for it. So I think such a service could actually work quite well here.
Good stuff. What about you, Jackson? What do you recommend? Is he still there?
Anyway, hello.
We'll go to Bo. Bo, what do you reckon about this story?
Honestly, I'm just surprised. Why is Japan? I mean, we're in the same area. Why are they getting it before us? Honestly, come on.
Yeah, I know what you mean, mate. Yep.
I mean, it sounds great from what I can read and what I've heard. Bring it to Australia. Japan don't need it. We do first.
I agree. Okay, Jackson, you there, mate? I'm not sure. Don't know where he is. Okay, Steve.
Well, going what he said, why Australia doesn't get it first? I think that, of course, living in Japan for a while, for 2 years as well, is that they're pretty crazy over content, Western shows and things like that. So they're, like I said, I think they're, you know, very adamant about getting this content in. So, you know, I don't know about, of course, so is Australia as well. I don't know if it's due to population as well. That might make a difference as well.
Mm. Also, I Japan do have fiber too, so we don't really have a great data structure in our home country, do we, Brad?
No, we don't, no. No,
and we were going to get fiber to the home, and it's all changed recently, hasn't it?
It has indeed, yes.
So there goes that. That's probably why. That's probably why.
Yes, exactly. Are you there, Jackson?
Yes, I am here. Sorry, I'm just struggling with my settings a bit.
Oh, you're right, mate. You're right, buddy. Have you got any? Have you got an opinion on that story, what Jody spoke about?
No, I don't think I do, no.
All right, mate. It's all good. Okay, Jody, next story.
Yeah, and just, you know, as we're talking about different services and almost like kind of clone services and copycat services, evidently there are rumors now of a YouTube-based music service. Ta-da! And that just got some credibility because there was an Android Police teardown of the Android app's most recent code. And there were references that were found about a music pass that would let subscribers listen to millions of songs ad-free, even with the app running in the background. And ostensibly, they can also pin content to their device for offline listening, although it appears that the content would expire if the device stays offline for too long. Obviously, this is all rumor. There's no guarantee that it's actually going to happen, but it sounds very, very similar to something that Apple did recently. Just curious what you guys think.
Bo, what do you think?
Well, to be honest, isn't, like, you can just honestly, you know, there's heaps of music videos of artists today, and there's ways of just downloading it. So isn't that sort of the same thing? Like, you know, you can re-encode the YouTube videos to MP3s and have them.
Well, I think, well, see, music has changed as far as it used to be downloading, but now it's streaming. There's been a big transition away from downloading to streaming, which I think, which it is nowadays. And I've been looking at that trend as well.
Mm. Fair enough.
Yep. All right. Jennifer, do you have a view?
Yeah, I do. I say great. If they want to get into some of the action with music, that's wonderful. I know a lot of people, when you're trying to find a song, they quickly go and search for it online and it pops up with a YouTube video, right? And I know people that actually listen to songs and music through YouTube. So I think that's natural. I kind of would like it if they would even do just an audio only and just be able to have people upload audio and not have the video on there as well. I kind of like that. So that way you could have Tech Webcast on there with just an audio feed, right?
Yeah, definitely. That would be fantastic, actually.
Mm. Yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
What about you, Hope? What's your view on this?
I think it's pretty cool. It's I see a lot of people around me that just search for YouTube videos just for the music. And so it will be pretty popular. But what I would really miss is sort of this discover feature that you have in Spotify, where you can really easily discover new music based on what you've been listening to before. And that's, for me, that's a really important part of the online streaming experience. And that really has enhanced my music, online music life. So I think it would be cool if I had something like that in the future as well.
All right. Jackson, do you have a view on that story?
I've kind of got mixed feelings about something like that, because I'm not a huge fan of YouTube. I think it's great for the consumer, but then I think YouTube's sort of model is like, I think they should be fixing other stuff on the website, especially for creators first. And I think it's going to cause it's just sort of complicating YouTube even further.
Mm. Yeah, maybe they should make a whole new website to do with audio, maybe.
Yeah, something like that would be good.
Mm.
All right. Honestly, sorry, I'm just going to add. Honestly, I don't see any point YouTube doing this, because haven't we got the other streaming?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we've got Spotify and Google Music and, you know, sort of.
Why do we need more?
I don't know, yeah.
Well, I think the problem with YouTube doing it is because people go to YouTube to
watch
be
video.
Visually stimulated with moving pictures along with audio, but how are they going to transition into music? Because normally, you know, you listen to it unless it's music videos. So I'm kind of wondering how they're going to really transition into that versus streaming music other ways.
Yeah, all right. We'll see what happens. Okay, Jay, next story.
More interesting stories about what's going on with the Google Play Store and your favorite device and mine, Chromecast, is now hopefully going to be able to highlight and stream some Chromecast-friendly Android apps. One of the things I think that's been a deficit for Chromecast is that there haven't been a whole lot of things that it can do. And evidently, Chromecast, you know, Chrome has, Google and Chrome have recently posted a Chromecast section in Google Play. So if you're browsing on your Android device, you can go over to this one section. And although it's a little thin right now, you can see HBO Go, Hulu Plus, Netflix, Pandora. Apparently they're looking at adding it and adding to it and making it more robust, which I think would make the Chromecast a lot more robust as it is as a device. I still love my Apple TV, but the Chromecast is a nice, inexpensive way of streaming video. And I know, Jennifer, you're a real proponent of the Chromecast. I'm just curious what you think about this.
I am a huge Chromecast fan and really am happy that they have decided to dedicate a section in Google Play for Chromecast-friendly apps. And that's something I think is needed because even myself, I think like, oh, is such and such available for Chromecast yet? And I think in my head, I'm like, oh, probably not. So it's nice to see that they'll have this in Google Play. My question is, where in Google Play is this? Because since I read this story a couple of days ago, I have not seen a Chromecast section in the Play Store. Have you?
No, I have not seen it.
No. So I don't know. Yeah, the story came out, but I still don't see the section anywhere on Google Play.
Okay, let's go to Hope. Do you have a view on this story? Is Hope there or has he dropped out?
He dropped out, but I think he's coming back online.
Okay, let's go to Jackson. Jackson, what about you, mate? What do you think about Chromecast and this story?
I've got to admit, every device in my house has a little Apple on it, so
okay.
I don't think I have much to add to that.
So you're an Apple fan person then?
Well, I'm not a fan, but it's sort of once you get one thing, then you're sort of trapped in that loop.
Yeah, I know what you mean, mate. I know. I totally understand. Yep, I'm the same way. Bo, what about you?
Well, I've actually had no experience with Chromecast, but I have got a personal Android media center. It's the Minix Neo X5, which is just Android on the device. It's like having a tablet, but without the touchscreen. It just plugs in by HDMI. But the Chromecast sounds interesting,
yeah,
and the apps that you can get for it, well, that's a good step. If it's by Google, it should work because obviously it's a customized version of Android.
It is. I've got one at home and I love it. I use it, you know, sometimes, but not all the time, but it works fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, so what else, Jody?
Well, I love this. You know, we've talked about Google Glass. We've talked about wearable computers.
Mm-hmm.
And evidently, the ears are now following the eyes in the $1.84 billion wearable computer boom. So we're talking about wearable computers for the ears, you know, so you can listen to it. Google's going after eyes. Samsung went for the wrist with the Galaxy Gear. iRiver is seeking to connect another body part, the ear. Last month, iRiver released a headset in the U.S. with a tic-tac-sized sensor that shines light into the ear to track a user's heart rate, distance, and speed traveled, calories burned. Another startup called Luxi sells an ear-mounted camera, and other ear-based devices have been patented by the likes of Intel and Samsung, or they're being developed by researchers at Massachusetts Institute of Technology and Keough University. Voice is the most common way to communicate. Wearable computers will have strong growth based on ear insert ability. Kind of interesting. I'm not sure where they're going with this. I mean, whether it's going to be eyes. I know that we talked about when you're using Google Glass, it's weird because you're talking to the person and their focus isn't, they're not looking in your eye anymore. They're kind of looking at this little screen. So what this seems to be is an evolution where in coming years, where a consumer can carry around 3 to maybe 8 wearable computer gadgets. So you have your phone, your tablet, your laptop, you have your wearables, you know, your arm, your eyes, your ear. And apparently the ears are a bit able to provide sharper biometric feedback. They're better at hearing users' voice commands through bone conduction and receiving the wearer's voice as it's conducted through the skull. And the devices could also whisper responses back to the owner's ears. So kind of an interesting twist on mobile computing. And I'm just curious, guys, if you would be wearing your computer on your wrist, if you're going to be wearing it on your eyes, if you're going to be wearing it on your ear, or if there's some other place that you think you might be wearing it.
I use the iPhone. Beau, what about you? What do you think?
Honestly, it sounds exciting. I've actually got a has anyone heard of Pebble?
Yes, we have.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I've got one on my arm at the moment.
Nice.
And the next one I'm going to get is the one with voice and audio, which you can use your S voice to control your phone and ask it questions through your wrist.
Cool, man.
So this is pretty cool. I mean, if I could wear something and have that control, well, I'd be happy.
What's your view on Google Glass?
Google Glass, I haven't had the experience you have. You've had physical experience with it.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think it would be awesome to wear something and have eye control, visuals on directions, needing contacts or having the need, you know, you can do lots of things with Google Glass. You can get, well, you know, you tell me. I haven't had too much.
To be honest, mate, it's not worth the money. How much would you pay for glass?
If I was going to buy glass, I wouldn't pay the actual current price. There's no way in hell.
Yeah.
I would probably pay at least $400.
Okay, I would pay $250.
Well, yes, that actually is more reasonable. Yeah. That is actually more reasonable.
Yeah.
But the hardware that is being used isn't that cheap. So.
Yeah. All right, Jennifer, what about you?
I think this is a pretty cool idea and cool device. I like the fact that you could be listening to music and at the same time it would measure your heart rate and how many calories you burn. And, you know, I'm into biometric data. And I love wearing my Nike Fuel Band, but I wish it could be a little bit more specific. And it sounds like this would be able to get there. The issue is I also would not want to wear an ear, something in my ear all day long. You know, I don't mind wearing my wristband because it's just as easy. It doesn't get in the way. It's just, it feels natural. But to wear something in my ear all day, that would be challenging. So I think just for working out maybe, or that I could see myself doing it for that or on a hike. And I always wear some type of ear gear, you know, when I hike. So I like it. I'd buy it.
Cool. All right. What about you, Hope?
He has dropped and hasn't been able to rejoin. I can't seem to find him.
What about you, Jackson?
I'm definitely a fan of audible things over video things, but I'm kind of going to hold out on that for a few years until it's more functional. Maybe it seems a bit gimmicky and gadgety at the moment.
Okay, what about you, Steve?
It's funny that you're just, as you're talking about it, something just popped in my head, something totally different that would work for wearable technology would be some kind of hat, because right now there is technology for firefighters where in their helmets, when they can hear, receive, and transmit through the bones in their head, because obviously in noisy environments, a regular speaker wouldn't work. So if they could utilize that in some kind of hat scenario, you wouldn't have to, you know, hold the phone or talking to a speaker, and it wouldn't be obvious, like, you know, Google Glass or something like that. So utilize some of that technology in some kind of, you know, hat, like a baseball cap. True. Or something like that.
That could work. Good answer. Hope, welcome back. What about you? What's your view on this story? Google Glass and stuff?
I think it's really exciting. I missed it a little bit because I actually got a connection problem.
You're
right. But we've been trying to use Google Glass in the office a bit, and I think it gives a peek into the future, and I'm looking really forward to see more wearable devices and more augmented reality getting into our daily lives.
Good stuff. All right, Jody, next story.
Yeah, this one kind of is a little bit disconcerting, actually. Recently, I don't know if you guys had this happen to you as well, but an update to the Facebook Messenger app, and it asks you to agree to terms of service that allow them, the social networking giant, Facebook, to use the microphone on your device to record audio at any time without your permission. It's kind of, you just kind of click and say, yes, fine, whatever. Well, apparently, not only is it asking to record the audio, it also allows the app to take pictures and videos with the camera without asking for your confirmation. It can read your contact information without asking for your permission. I mean, it's pretty onerous.
Wow.
And it can read your phone call log, read data about contacts stored in your phone, including the frequency with which you've called, emailed, or communicated with, what ways you've communicated with others. And this is for the apps on both Apple and Android. And the vast majority of people, like myself, you agree to the terms without even reading them. Cell phone users are agreeing to let Facebook monitor them 24/7 and greenlighting the kind of open-ended wiretap that would make even the NSA go crazy. So, I'm a little bit horrified by this.
I'm removing Facebook as of right of now from my phone. I'm scared.
but it's one of those things. I mean, I know that it asked about using the microphone. I'm thinking, well, of course it has to use the microphone.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's still an open access to them using it whenever they want, if they want to.
Yeah, interesting. All right. Steve, what's your view on this story?
I do have a view now. You probably need to read it very carefully when you read terms of service, because I know this issue came up before. I'll give you an example with iBook Author, is a free software application where you can write your own books and upload them to the iTunes store, and you can even give out free versions. And supposedly, the way it was written, people were thinking that somehow Apple would gain intellectual property rights to what you write and put in their store, which wasn't the case. And even Apple rewrote it just to be more clear on the situation. So I would probably be very careful and read all through because sometimes these terms of service is not very user friendly. So you might, of course, you probably do want to decode it and make sure you understand what the terms of service really are.
All right. Jennifer, what about you?
Yeah, that's kind of scary and a little bit disheartening too. You know, we're very trusting, I think, just as humans, we're inherently trusting. And you want to trust companies like Facebook, right? But it's really hard. I mean, it's really, I don't know. I'm disappointed in them. I think they could go a different route and take the high road and not try to. And maybe they're not doing anything malicious with this, you know. But just the fact that our privacy is being invaded is not very good. Now, for me, for example, I don't know if you guys did this, but when it did ask us recently with the new Messenger app if we wanted to let it use our phone for SMS within the Messenger app, I did say no to that. I did not want to use Messenger for my SMS. But with Google, for Hangouts, I said yes. So I don't know. I think I trust Google more than I trust Facebook, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I agree with that. I do agree with that. Yeah. I did the same thing.
Really?
Yeah, I did
the same. Great minds.
Yeah. All right. What about you, Hope?
Well, I think what we'll see in the future is that the technology will get access to all these very privacy sensitive data automatically, and it just becomes very natural. But what is really important is what you just highlighted: is do you trust these companies actually to respect your privacy? And I think for Facebook, they don't have a really good reputation in that regard. So yeah, it's a bit scary for Facebook. Mm. Yeah.
All right. Jackson, do you have a view on this story?
Yeah, well, I try and give Facebook as little data about me as possible.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a bit naive, but is Facebook really big enough to actually do anything with that amount of data if they start listening to people's phone calls? Because that's going to be a lot of data.
Hmm. Interesting. Jody, what do you think about that?
You know, Facebook has been in the business of data mining. Much as it appears to be a social network, the reality is that they collect a heck of a lot of information about us. And we opt into it with signing that we like this movie or we like this group, and we share all of our interests and what school we went to. And it's amazing how much information they have about us. And this is just adding to the, it's very compelling because everybody else is there and you feel like it's a community. What scares me, frankly, are the younger generations I think older people have a little bit more savvy in terms of what should be shared and what shouldn't be shared. I think younger people, they think everything is open and they don't realize, the jeopardy they could potentially be putting themselves in. So it's scary, and I hope that the trend stops. I hope and pray that at some point, decide that we don't want to be sharing our information like this. And I hope it happens before something really bad happens.
Yeah, definitely. Because I chat with Jennifer on Facebook using voice chat and stuff, I don't want them listening to.
We should be really careful, Brad, because we say some real private horrible things about everyone here on the. I'm joking. I'm teasing.
Yeah, that's funny.
And that's how we must get started.
Well, I think like these companies, that offer either free services or social networking, whatever, they have to make their money somehow. So so data mining is one thing. Now, of course, I don't know if they sell it or use it for advertising. So, of course, you not necessarily get something for nothing, it gets paid somehow. So people should realize that as well. So I'm guessing, they're trying to figure out a way, just like somebody mentioned that, maybe Facebook doesn't know what to do with the data, how they're going to make money off of it. So of course, people should be aware of this as well. And of course, like I said, read the terms of service very carefully to see what they are actually doing.
Mm. All right. Jody, any more news stories?
I think that's good for the news, and I'm curious. I think it's time to interview our guests.
Okay, let's chat with Jackson from miles'spodcast.com.au.
Hey there.
Welcome, mate. Tell us about the website.
Okay. I've just started. It's pretty new. It's about 3 months old.
Okay.
My basic idea was, I started it to promote my own podcast initially, but cool. Then I got into a bit more of a community thing. So it's basically there to promote Australian podcasts, and then hopefully in the future I can try and provide some services and stuff to make Australian podcasts a bit better.
Definitely. I agree. It's a great website, mate, and I've had mine onto it. And what's your podcast about?
I've got a few. I'd say the main one would be Films from the Granny. So it's just me and a few friends talking about movies, basically.
Nice one. Okay, Bo, any questions for Jackson?
Besides...
Why is there a coming from you?
Actually, I don't know. I'm hearing...
He's in a cave.
I am in a cave. Is any better? Hello.
That's better.
Yeah. Okay.
I think.
Is it?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds
okay.
Like it.
So, what, besides wanting, you started from your own podcast, and was it that the Australian people didn't already have a podcast directory that inspired you to actually create one?
I found recently there was one that's dead from about 8 years ago, but it was more that I was interacting with a few American podcasts and trying to promote myself there, and then I found that their reaction to me was sort of dismissive, like they didn't even recognize anything outside of America. And I'm not going to extrapolate that to the whole country, but it was more that there wasn't like a single body to represent Australian podcasts.
Totally agree.
Yeah,
well, definitely.
Yeah, I agree. Jody, any questions for Jackson?
Yeah, Jackson, I'm just curious what the scope of the podcasts are. You said you have several. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about, you know, what they're about, so our listening audience can hear about them as well.
Well, there's a bit of everything. There's a lot of I found there's a lot of Australian comedians doing their own podcasts, especially the big ones. There's I Love Green Guide Letters and Will Anderson doing his he's got two podcasts. But then there's a bit of everything. There's some political podcasts, there's science, education podcasts, music. You know, there's really everything you can think of.
That's good. Good stuff. Jennifer, any questions?
Yeah, on your website, do you link directly to the podcast so that their most recent episodes show up on your site, or is it mainly just a link to their show?
Well, at the moment, it's just their website, their feed, and their social links. But yeah, it is part of my plan to grow it to be more like as much as I don't like iTunes, they definitely have some cool features. So I'd like to be able to play their latest episodes from my site. So that's a feature I'm hoping to implement in the future.
Okay. And also, is it free for them to be on your site, or do you charge a small fee?
Nope, absolutely free.
Wonderful, wonderful. So, Brad, are you on site yet?
I am on there. Is that correct, Jackson? I'm on there, mate?
Yes. Yes, you are.
Good stuff.
Awesome. Good stuff. And, Bo, you're on there too?
No. No podcast of yet.
I thought you had a podcast.
That's what I thought
reason.
Too.
No. Not yet.
I think you do so well that I just assumed that you
think,
had a podcast.
Well, he does a radio show. I think that's where you got it from, Jennifer.
I own a radio station.
Yeah, that's where you got it from, Jennifer.
That's
radio.
Why.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
But there might be a podcast coming to that site soon.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
Okay. What about you, Steve?
Well, I think it's an excellent idea because, I mean, if there's just one podcast, I mean, it might attract some people. But if you have a place you can go where there's multitude of different types of shows, then I think there's more chance for people to stick around and maybe see your channel or other people. So, yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, definitely. Hope, any questions?
No, I think it's really great. I haven't really visited the site yet, but it sounds very interesting.
That's good, mate. Do you listen to many podcasts at all?
I listen to them now and then. It's like it's mostly I discover them through Twitter or to like all the social media and see if there's any interesting tech topics, and I listen to them in the evening.
That's good. Okay, so Jackson, what's next with the website, mate? What's going to happen in the future?
Well, I've got a lot of plans. I'm kind of just trying to pick which one to do first. Really, my next big idea is try and get some sort of live event or something like that started up.
That'd be good.
So yeah, I'm working on that at the moment.
Maybe you could stream a podcast each week live. Maybe.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. That's part of the plan. Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll check tech webcasts on there. Maybe each week.
Sure.
There you go.
That would work fantastic.
Do you feature certain ones? Are you planning on featuring certain ones, like maybe like a top 10 or a top 10 podcast this week? And you know, and you feature which different ones that you like? Maybe.
Well, I'm kind of leaving that up to the community at the moment because I'm trying to get people who want to contribute to the site. So I've got like a blog page or a news page. So I've got one person who does their podcast of the week. And so, yeah, that's
I'm hoping to maybe get a few more people doing similar things. Yeah.
Can we be nice. Podcast of the week at all, Jackson?
Well, that's up to her. But yeah, I'll definitely.
Is that Melissa? Melissa? Melissa, yeah. We need to put Tech Webcast on as podcast of the week.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, that's cool. How many people work for you, Jackson, on the website?
Well, she's my only regular contributor at this point, but okay. I've got a few other people doing little bits every now and again.
Good stuff. And what's your favorite technology podcast so far? You know, there must be a few on there, is it?
Yeah, there's quite a few. I'm not huge. I'm more of a geek than a tech head.
Okay. Okay. Cool,
I don't listen to that many. But Tech Webcast is pretty great.
Fantastic, mate. And how does that's good. Thanks for the feedback. How does people submit a podcast?
Yay!
Yay!
I think the URL. So it's. ozpodcasts.com.au.
Okay.
And then it just slash, I think it's submit an OzPod.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So it's pretty easy to do. You just put the URL in and where you go and they email you and stuff. And
It's pretty simple. There's just three steps, like categories, URLs, stuff like that, and then picture.
What about, what's your favorite podcast on there at the moment? Name one.
It's a pretty there's a good one I mentioned before. I Love Green Guard Letters having a live show tonight. That's
cool.
That's going to be pretty good. That's the one I was listening to this morning.
Good stuff. All right. Where can they get hold of you if they want to email you and stuff?
At OzPodcasts on Twitter or info@ozpodcast.com.au.
Okay.
But Twitter's the my main connection point. Yeah, definitely. Really.
Yeah. Follow him on Twitter for sure. Bo, what's your view on this website? What do you think?
The layout looks good. I think there's a heap of potential. Australia, so far, I didn't actually realize you existed until today's podcast. today, but no offense, but. Now I know, and actually I think that's great because I don't think we've got enough local directories, especially in podcasting, that people who are local can actually put their content on there and be found. It's
definitely
great.
Yeah, definitely for sure. Okay, well, that's good. Hang around, Jackson, and we'll speak to you more soon, mate.
Sounds good.
Jennifer, you got a new TiVo.
I did get a new TiVo. The TiVo Romeo.
Can we speak about that for a minute?
Sure. I did upgrade from my other one. I did have a TiVo Series 4 before. So it wasn't a huge upgrade. However, it is a lot faster and accessing the content is pretty just awesome. It's cool. I really like it a lot. You know, it's 500 gigabyte hard drive, so not the largest, but also that's enough for me. It has four tuners, so I'm able to record everything that I need.
That's good.
And I really like it.
So have you recorded four shows yet at one time?
Maybe three. But cool. No, I haven't encountered four yet.
Okay. All right. Joe, do you have a view on TiVo? Do you use TiVo or not?
No, I don't, and only because I have Netflix, I've got Amazon Prime, I've got Comcast, I've got On Demand. There's been no reason for me to need to record. So,
okay,
yeah,
because all the services are instant for you.
Yeah. I love TiVo. Bo, do you love TiVo?
I actually haven't experienced TiVo yet.
Okay, well, unfortunately, you can't do that, mate, because there's not one here in Australia anymore.
Okay. Oh, really? Has TiVo now finished?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Well, apparently they're bringing Netflix onto the TiVo, but they're not bringing out any new boxes in the future. Apparently.
Okay. Netflix is out there. It's on it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Mm. So that sucks. Okay, we got Hope on. Welcome, Hope.
Hi. Hi. Yeah. Talk a bit about Coast.
Go ahead, man.
Yeah. So Opera is a company that has been making browsers for 20 years.
And that's quite a long time, quite since the beginning. And a browser is like a very important part of how, what people use, spend their daily time on. As people, a lot of people spend hours on the internet per day. And so if you, we just talked earlier at the show, we talked about Netflix and Amazon Prime, and we see really that these services, they've really changed the way that we experience video. So I remember that in, like in the old days, you had to drive to a local video shop and get rent a movie there via VHS tape, and then you could watch it, and you had to bring it back. And now it's just like everything is just available with a couple of taps on your screen or on your mouse. And that's really a great enhancement, a great improvement in experience. But if you look at the internet browser, which if you look at the first browser, Mosaic, from 20 years ago, then it looks very much like the browsers that we have today, like the browsers on any browser, Firefox, Chrome, or Opera, on your PC. And I've been working for Opera for a while, for 8 years, and it really bothered me that it seemed like we were stuck, like there was nothing changing anymore. Mm-hmm. And that sort of inspired me to start working on a new browser for the iPad that is really made for touch for the devices that you have now. And that's really simple, because people like simplicity. They like the iPads and iPhones so much, mm-hmm. because they provide this ultimate experience with a simple interface. And it's really designed for the internet as it is now, because the internet are not simple text documents anymore. They're really advanced sites. And if you take a look at Google Maps, the site, it's really an interactive application, not just a page anymore. So that's what we made Coast. And we launched this a couple of months ago.
Nice.
And people really liked it. We got really great reviews. They really liked the direction. And we heard, like, got a lot of feedback where people say like, oh, but this is so obvious. Why didn't anyone do this before? And we'd really hope that this is a new direction for the internet and for experiencing the internet.
Cool. Can you get on the iPhone?
We don't have it for the iPhone currently. We launched it for the iPad, and the reason is that we really want to focus on giving this ultimate experience.
Yeah.
So you see, there's lots of browsers like Chrome that try to be like a Swiss Army knife and try to do everything, but in the end you compromise on a lot of things. And so we wanted to really focus on one experience and make that really well. And if you open the application and use it, you can really feel that. It's really touch focused, multi-touch. You can use multiple fingers, and it uses all the screen estate that is there.
Nice one. Okay.
So that's right, folks.
All right, Jody, any questions for Hope?
Well, you know, actually, I was going to ask about the iPhone as well, because I tried to find it for my iPhone and it wasn't there. But I'm curious, you know, because Opera, like you said, it's been around forever, and yet there's so many people that don't know that you're still here and what you're doing. Maybe you can share with us, what is your vision for how you're going to improve market share? I mean, is that one of the goals?
Well, it's Opera has been involved in many markets and many businesses. So it's we have one product called Opera Mini, and it's very popular in many countries. There's 350 million users across the world of it. And it's very popular in Eastern Europe and Southeast Asia. And it uses compression to make the internet faster on mobile phones. And there's browsers for desktop. And it's browser market is sort of like the car market. There's different car brands, and there are different representations in geographic regions. And so that's Opera is very popular in certain regions and is less known in other regions. And like, for instance, in Australia, where there's not that many people using Opera yet. But with Coast by Opera, we really try to address a new market and try to push the internet forward. So we want to provide a better experience for the user and show that the internet can actually evolve. It's not a static technology. It's something that needs to evolve.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Okay, Jennifer, any questions?
Yes, definitely. First, I want to say it is a beautiful app. I installed it on my iPad, and it's really simple and clean and uses the entire screen and there's not a huge menu bar on there and any junk to get in the way. It looks beautiful. So if people listening have not installed this yet on their iPad, they need to. It's free in the App Store. Coast by Opera is what you need to search for. But so well done.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I do have a question. When you are in the app and you are reading the info about the web page that you have open, and you tap safety, and it shows you three different items, which I think is really different. Very cool. It shows you a safety report, and the first one is encryption. It shows if whether or not your information is protected on this website. The second one is reputation and whether or not the site has a decent reputation. And the third is trust level. The site has a good trust rating. So my question is about trust. Now, I have a little personal site. Well, it's personal. It's a small business for my podcast. And I also looked at Brad's web in techwebcast.info on here as well. And it says that we don't really have a trust rating. So where does it get that from? Is that just based upon how many people visit a site, and or how does it find that information, basically?
Okay. Well, so the safety feature, that's something that we're really proud of, because it's really a new way of looking at safety and security. It's mm-hmm. like in a traditional browser, if you want to know whether you're safe or whether you're good, and what you need to know is you need to look at the internet address. You need to check if it says HTTPS, if it has a padlock, and if the padlock says S name is good. You have to know. You have to check that the URL, the domain is really the same. It says like bankofamerica.com and not binkofamerica.com. And so you have to evaluate all these properties as the end user. And that's quite complex. It requires technical knowledge. And with Coast, mm-hmm. we put all this technology, all these heuristics for evaluating safety inside of the browser under the hood. You don't see it, and it mm-hmm. does that all the time for you. So it checks different safety aspects of the website, and you can see three of them in the safety report, and it does mm-hmm. that continuously. So every time you visit a web page, it checks what's the reputation, what is the security, the encryption strength, and how has it been historically, and all this kind of information. And then it concludes whether you are at risk or not. And if you're at risk, mm-hmm. it will show you a warning. It will take the web page away from you. And if you're not at risk, then it will not show you anything. So in the normal browsing experience, you wouldn't see anything, because normally you're good, especially on the iPad. So it's a new way of addressing safety, where we only warn the user when it's really needed. And it avoids very, very technical and very questionable warnings that normal people can't do anything with.
Yeah.
With regards to where we get the reputation data from, we work with different reputation data providers, one of them being Web of Trust. And they have databases of millions of websites across the world. But for the smaller websites or for the newer websites, they still have to gather this data and this trust level. So it can be that they're not always in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
but it uses familiarity. So if you visit the website multiple times and interact with it, then it understands that you have a relationship with this website, and it's not just a simple website. And then an example is where if you go to a new website and this website has no reputation data, it has no encryption, no security, and the first thing it does is ask for your credit card information. Well, then the feature will kick in and will warn you and say, like, hey, this is very suspicious that unknown site suddenly asks you for this kind of sensitive data. So it's a very much more comprehensive approach.
Yeah, it sounds like a very safe browser. Very safe.
Sounds good. Yeah, very safe. Okay, Bo, any questions?
Honestly, Jennifer's.
There's the echo again.
I know, I'm hearing it. I'm trying to. I'm sorry. Annoying me.
Jennifer Hilton. Okay, all right, good stuff, Bo. Steve, any questions?
Oh, yeah, I've got a couple. And it's kind of funny that I actually, when Coast Browser actually came out, I did review it because I was very interested in it. And the first thing I noticed, like what a lot of companies do, is when they try to bring a web browser to a tablet, they always seem to try to bring a desktop version, which doesn't really work on a tablet. So when I seen Coast, it pretty much does it differently. I mean, it pretty much all full screen, and it doesn't seem to do tabs, which I think works best with the Coast. So I think I believe it was well done. I haven't seen any web browser quite like Coast, because I think it is more interactive. And another thing, I wanted to ask a question about your desktop version, because I know you fairly recently went to the Mozilla or Chromium version, which on a developer standpoint, I think it was a good choice because you can take the already developed code base and then put in the features of the Opera in there, and you can which makes for a faster development cycle, and you can put out new features out faster. So could you tell us about that?
Yeah, so Opera's desktop and also the mobile versions, they switch to the Bling code base, which is a project that we collaborate with Google. And this is it has been a technology switch, which we think is very good for the internet, because it basically means that we can collaborate with these big companies, the other companies, and also the companies that really want to drive the web forward and make a really great engine. So we released a new version of the desktop browser before summer based on this code base, and it has been quite successful. It's very fast, and it has a fresh, clean look on the desktop, and people like it so far. And the collaboration with Google and all the other companies involved in Blink has been really well. So it's I think it's a good step for the internet.
All right. Jackson, any questions?
I don't have any questions, but I've got to say, you said right at the start that the web browsers of today look very similar to the earliest web browsers. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that. Like we still have the http://, and anything like the browser you're talking about sounds like it's taken us into an age where we don't have those hangovers and stuff like that from the past. So yeah, that's great. Exciting.
Yeah, that's good to hear. And it's like if you start Coast with Opera, you get a little introduction movie, and that explains you some basics. It shows you some basics, basically, like how you can swipe back and forth in pages. But what we really try to cover in this movie is to get people to just put their hands in the application. Because it's really made for touch. You can swipe everything. It's like you can tap on the address field in the browser, but you can also swipe it down. And that gives such a great feeling of control with animations that it feels like a new way of doing things, and like you have a lot more control over how you browse the internet. So it's really an experience that you have to try. It's free, available from the App Store. And so I highly recommend to people to just give it a try.
Good stuff. I hope. When will we see it on the iPhone? Any in the future at all? Or?
We can't. Of course, we're always looking at new devices and new experiences, but we can't really promise anything until we're actually going to release there.
Okay, so
we're definitely on the lookout.
All right, is it on Android for the tablets, or is it just on the iPad?
Currently, it's just for the iPad.
Okay,
and like I said, we really want to focus on good experience there.
All right, good stuff. Any more questions, Jody or Jennifer or Steve?
I just have to say I love throwing away the pages. You know, when you get rid of them and you discard them, it looks so fluid, and it's you did just a really beautiful job with it.
All right. Good stuff.
Thank you. Yeah, That's how it should be, and that's I'm glad that you recognize that, because we worked so hard on these things, where we really believe that the iPads and the iPhone and this iOS gives us really simple, beautiful experience that is just, it's a little bit fun to work with, and that's how it should be. Like, browsing the internet should be fun. It should not be clumsy with small little buttons. It should be a great experience.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
All right. Joe, any more questions before we wrap up, or...?
Just again, could you give us the URL so people can find you, and also if they wanted to get in touch, how would they find you?
Yeah, so Coast by Opera has a website, coastbyopera.com, and there's a lot of information there. Also, how you can contact us, and we have a Twitter account, Coast by Opera, called Ghost Opera, and you can just give us a ping there and we'll respond.
All right.
Excellent.
Good stuff. Jody, what's your final thoughts on the show and your Twitter username and stuff?
The show is never final. It lives on and on.
It does. It does indeed. It never dies.
Through podcasts and everything. Great show, guys. And it's always fun to do these and wonderful to meet you both Hope and also Bo and
yeah.
It's all good stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
And Jackson.
Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter as Sunswept. You can find me most of the normal places as either Jody Rains or as Webmarcom. My website is webmarcom.net.
Okay. And when's your podcast coming back, Jody?
Ready to go, Brad. It's just a function of figuring out what day, you know, like picking a day and being consistent with recording it.
Okay.
So
sweet. Okay. Jennifer, what's your final view on this show and your links?
Okay. I thought the show was fantastic. Wonderful guest and great news stories. So thank you for having me on.
No problem.
And as far as my links go, you can find me personally at jenniferruggiero.com. And then I'll plug my podcast Get Nerdy With It.com. And all my links, though, my personal links are on jenniferruggiero.com, my Google+, Twitter, Facebook, whatever.
Cool. LinkedIn. And who's your next guest going to be on next?
Actually, Steve from the show today is going to be my next guest.
All right.
And and then I'm working to see if I can get the EverPost guy on. I don't know if you've checked out EverPost, but it's kind of like a news curated site, and they did a nice job with it. So I'm going to try to see if I can get them on.
That's cool. Good stuff. You can get me on Twitter at Brad Olsen at Tech Webcast. Bo, what's your final view on this show, mate, and your social links, mate?
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you had echo again, mate.
I've turned it down. Wow. It's been a big thing.
We can't hear you.
Oh, that's great. This is like one of those, like, I don't know. It sounds like he's in a canyon or something. The Grand Canyon.
Can you understand him, Jody?
What's that?
Can you understand what he's saying?
Not a word.
Okay. I don't either.
It makes him sound more dramatic, though.
Yeah, it does.
No.
Okay, what about you, Jackson? Where can you get you at, mate?
Thanks for having me on today.
No problem,
it's been
mate.
Great. So I'm on ozpodcast.com.au, so OZPODCASTS. I should get a jingle for that, I think.
You should.
Or ozpodcast on Twitter.
Cool. All right. What about you, Hope?
Yeah, it's been great news stories that we discussed today.
Yeah.
I was really happy that I could join today with this podcast. You can find me on hkleinout at Twitter and other social media networks, and of course, ghostpopper.com.
Good stuff.
And thank you so much for having me.
No problem. And thanks to Zara for contacting me, Hope.
Yeah, I'll tell her.
Yeah, tell her. Yeah, she messaged me. I didn't go to you guys. She came to me, so that's good.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay, Steve, what about you?
You can find me on Twitter as chatterbox_live. And, of course, justin.tv/LinuxCoolDude. Also hear the live version of the Tech Webcast.
Nice one, mate. And next week, we'll be chatting with Ice TV next week. That's a TV guide, which is pretty cool. You can check them out at icetv.com.au. That's it, Jennifer and Jody. Thanks for being on, guys.
Thank you.
You're all great.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads. Join Will, Eric and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. A weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechhead.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest running Tech News Podcast.
Well, that's it for Tech Webcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed having your mind expanded. Tune in next week for more Tech Talk with Brad Jason, and whatever crazy guests they've managed to rope in. Don't forget to get the Tech Webcast app from iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and of course, check us out on Facebook too. Until next time, may the tech be with you. Peace!